Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 123 of the Van Hemlock Podcast. Hello.
Jackson 5.
Have you? What? Hey. Focus, man, focus. Hello.
I can't focus, I'm tired.
Yes, quite exhausted, really. Big, busy, long day yesterday, and it's straight into the studio the day after to do the Eurogamer Expo 2010 podcast roundup.
Boy,
thing.
Did it rain.
Which saw my co-host and myself heading to London to Earl's Court, no less.
That impressive.
I was very impressed.
It's a rather pokey old building that isn't really suited for anything.
It did look rather 30s. It ought to have had a Zeppelin.
It needed a Zeppelin. It didn't have a Zeppelin. It had a Zeppelin.
Moored to the top. Anyway, yeah, bigger venue this time.
Yep.
Where was it last time? I can't remember. Somewhere along the Thames, wasn't it?
Some converted warehouse. Fish thing. Palace Gate or something.
Yeah, something like that. Overall, I'm not sure that was a good move, to be honest. It seemed bigger and a bit less crowded, but there seemed to be less stuff in it.
There was definitely less stuff in it this
year. Yeah, yeah. We got the program here. So what we're going to do is use it as show notes.
Like last year, we're just going to read through and give our comments on what we saw.
Yeah, and a bit of roundup at the end as well. So you want to kick straight off into it?
Yeah, go on then.
All right then. Firstly, on the games list there, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Oh yeah, more the same.
There was loads of that.
There was an awful lot.
I think they were using that as the filler game for anyone who forgot to turn up with their game.
It did feel like that.
Yeah, it's like everywhere you turn, every other stand, it was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. It looked really good though.
Well, it's a game which I really wasn't on my radar because. Yeah, it's just a bit more Assassin's Creed, but with multiplayer, and how can the multiplayer be any good?
Well, this is it. I mean, I was sort of watching over a couple of shoulders as we were playing. It basically is Assassin's Creed 2 and a bit. It had this feel of a multiplayer expansion. We're not talking Assassin's Creed 3, you know, whole new setting, whole new hero, anything like that. You're basically taking on a number of henchmen, I suppose, to Ezio's original assassin in Assassin's Creed 2. And yeah, lots of multiplayer. I don't know if they were doing co-op. I couldn't see any co-op going on
there. It looks
there.
Purely the versus assassination mode.
Yeah, they were rigged up with the whole deathmatch thing with four computers all on the same server sort of thing there. Look quite good though. You get to choose from a number of classes, each with different special attacks. My big thing about how does stealth work in a PvP deathmatch type environment, which usually is a bit hit and miss. You're either totally invisible and then up to wall hacks or whatever. But yeah, it looked like you do the normal blending as you do with Assassin's Creed 2 anyway, and it seems to change your appearance as you do that. And of course, you don't have the thing floating over your head saying I'm an assassin or anything like that. So I think the whole thing where you hide in plain sight, which is the Assassin's Creed thing in general, as far as I can tell, seems to work quite well in the multiplayer.
People were hiding.
Yeah, yeah. You, as long as you don't run. I mean, it was saying on screen, a target nearby, don't run, you know.
And I'm not entirely sure if it was people being dumb, but there were an awful lot of people acting like bad AI.
Some people making a break for it and stuff, yeah.
Walking to walls, that sort
of
thing.
What were you saying, the ship?
Yeah, it's very much like the ship, which is an old game, which was a Source Engine game, which was basically... I think it was a 30s detective whodunit, where everyone,
murder mystery,
everyone has to kill someone and have someone allocated to kill them, and this is the same thing.
I think they're taking that sort of approach with it all. So
only if you see
could
somebody,
hide forever, but you've still got your own killing to be doing.
Yeah, you need to be killing someone. And if you witness another assassination, you can take the law into your own hands and assassinate them too.
Oh, right. So it does look like a lot of fun. I mean, that's something. I mean, it's a ripping solo game, Assassin's Creed 2.
Yep.
Fantastic fun. But yeah, perhaps there's more fun to be had with the multiplayer element there.
I shall see.
Hopefully there's more sort of campaigny single player stuff.
I believe there is.
With it all as well, so that should be good.
They weren't demonstrating that it was purely the multiplayer.
No, but it looked good though. I think I'm quite excited about that one actually. I was determined not to be excited by anything I saw in there because I'm old and bitter and jaded and also had been rained on, and it was a long day and I'd done a lot of walking. And I was determined to be quite grumpy, but I saw quite a few things I liked.
It's hard to be grumpy when you see Assassin's Creed 2, because it's just such a gorgeous game.
Well, let's not gush too much on the very first thing then.
Okay.
Brink next on this. There was a huge queue for that, and that was popular. Tell why.
Yeah. No.
So that's a PS3 job, is it?
I think it's Xbox as well.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed, I think they were showing PS3s and Xboxes.
Yeah, they were, yeah. But there was an awful lot of PS3s showing stuff. More, I would say, than Xbox.
Yeah.
Although there's a quite funny thing I'll mention about the Sony stuff later.
And we'll come to the Nintendo in due course. But, so what's Brink? It looked a bit Borderlands-y to me, but I wasn't really paying an awful lot of attention as to what was going on there. There's, you know, bandits in kooky masks toting machine guns around bare-chested with, like, a sort of crapsack world, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, is it sort of Borderlands? Is that the thing, or am I missing the point of that?
I'm not entirely sure what the point of Brink actually is.
It looked like any other first-person shooter deathmatch arena type of thing.
And nothing there was selling it to me as anything else.
Yeah, you're running. Yeah, he's got the website up and he's running a little video there in case we forgot what we saw yesterday. Looks quite Borderlands. A bit more graphically detailed. It does look nice. It does look good. But ultimately, if gameplay is mostly about charging around shooting three other people with guns, I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't really impress me that much. It looks good, yada, 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 but from what was on show there was nothing there really selling it to me.
Well, it seemed to impress an awful lot of people, though, because it was queuing right around the block and all sorts to get a go on that one. So a lot of people, I don't know, either anticipating it a lot or just wanting to have a go specifically on that. So
yeah,
doesn't seem to matter what we think. It's certainly popular. Bulletstorm.
Oh, yes.
X2, it says on the Bulletstorm index there. That was in the... They had their over-18 section again.
Yeah.
To be honest, there's only one game in the over-18 section that I thought should have been in there.
Would that be Saw, by any chance?
That would have been Saw 2, which we'll come to, but...
All the games in there were rated.
I couldn't tell the difference between first-person shooters that were in there and most of the other first-person shooters that were outside that section.
Brink was outside, wasn't it?
Yeah, Brink was outside.
Yeah, but...
Bulletstorm was inside.
The moment I walked into there...
Yeah.
I heard
IDU and everything. Well, not us, because we're old and haggard. But
I didn't get ID'd once. Although we did seem to take great pleasure in making Asgard walk in and out because they kept IDing him. The moment I walked in there, I could hear Gears in the background.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it was there and I heard it. And
so it did end up as the Gears of War 3 tent in a way.
Gears were sort of tucked away further at the back, but I there's obviously something in my brain now where I will hear the guns from Gears no matter what.
Uh-huh. Okay, so Bulletstorm itself, did you see it?
Yep.
I saw it and it didn't really register.
Bulletstorm is... It's by one of Epic's other friendly companies, and it's a third-person shooter. It's third, isn't it? Where you get points for inventive kills.
Okay, so combos and whatnot.
Yeah, and it looks okay. I'm not really excited about it. No. I'll play it because it's going to be a decent shooter.
Not something I'd been following at all, to be honest. But
yeah, Cliff Bleszinski's been talking up quite a lot recently, alongside Gears, of course.
Okay.
So
if you like Gears, you might like also.
Yeah, it's got a good sense of humour, apparently, and yeah, but. It again, didn't really sell itself to me.
Fair enough. Let's move on. Oh, at this point, before we launch much further in, I ought to just say, if you're listening to this podcast in the hope that there's going to be talk about anything to do with MMOs whatsoever, you probably want to stop listening now. Cause
no, at the end of the show, we'll reveal how many MMOs there were. Listen if you want to find out. No MMOs at all.
No, nothing. I mean, last year there was only Star Trek Online, really, wasn't there? And that was it.
Yeah. The year before there was Jumpgate, and that was it.
And yeah, and they were only there by mistake or something.
Jumpgate just released a new forum.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's 2 years to the day since we played hands-on alpha test of Jumpgate.
And we're spectacularly unimpressed by Jumpgate.
Yeah, still nothing to report.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the list then. Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Is a game I didn't really pay much attention to because my PS3 has the demo sitting on it.
Right.
Patrick Stewart does the voiceover.
He did a bit in Oblivion. Yeah, but was it a phoned-in 10 minutes at the start job, or is he involved all the way through?
I don't know. No. I only played the demo.
I don't know. I was watching over shoulders. It looks like, sort of vampires and werewolves sort of thing, but sort of Prince of Persia was what I thought when
I saw
it.
Yeah, it's going towards that more.
Time, that kind of
and it's got 3Ds this time instead of 2Ds.
2Ds?
Yes, Castlevania's been 2D games.
Oh, yeah, Castlevania. I'm sort of vaguely aware of it being on the NES as a sideways platformer, but this was the full behind the shoulder third person.
It looks nice. From what I've played on the demo, it plays nice. Yeah. But it's not really a game I paid attention to because I've got the demo already.
Mm. It seemed to resemble Prince of Persia, I guess, if I had to compare it to anything else. So, yeah, maybe one to look for. Let's see. Crysis 2. That was in the 18-bit.
Yep.
What did you think?
Like Crysis, but more Crysis. I don't like Crysis.
I don't know. I should have paid more attention. I think we were on our fourth or fifth lap by that point, and I was a bit overwhelmed by it all.
Feet hurting. No, I've never liked Crysis at all, so I was really not
Crysis
impressed.
Is typically the big showpiece for the Cry engine, isn't it? So, and historically, that's been a thing of vast system specs. I don't think we saw any PCs showing
it's
stuff.
It's hard to say. There were some PCs there, but we'll cover that when we get onto the big rant, which is going to happen when we hit certain games.
All right, yeah.
But yeah, Crysis, don't really care.
Fair enough.
This is a bit biased, this rundown, by the way.
Okay, well, you know, we have our impressions, and this is what we're going to say. Dead Space 2, which was in the adult bit as well.
Again, I didn't pay that much attention to it because it's an instant sale for me. I'm buying it no matter what. I love Dead Space 1.
It looked good. It's sort of running around sci-fi settings in the dark with aliens coming at you, and they had an awesome crawl. Sort of crossbow thing that fired three laser beams at once that looked quite cool.
You want to play Dead Space 1. It's got many of those elements in
many
Dead
awesome
Space
guns. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll have to look out for that then.
It's got a gun where you can rotate it from that way to that way and use it to cut bits
firing
off.
Firing through letterboxes,
you've
that
got,
kind of
you've
thing.
You've got to cut off limbs and stuff as they run towards you.
That does sound cool. Well, this in that case seems to be more of the same then, I guess.
They say it's a horror game, but it's not really because no one does horror.
There was
right
a lot of
anymore.
Running around, shooting stuff, action stuff.
It's horror in the way that Aliens is horror.
Fair enough. Def Jam Rapstar. It says stage there. They had a big old thing there. They had some, what presumably I take to be
professional
rap stars.
It was really hard dragging you off that stage.
I was there. I was up there. I was representing. Except no, we were all too cowardly to go anywhere near it, weren't we? Because we're painfully white to begin with. And generally not into music in a big way.
I'm into music in a big way.
Just singing in Earl's Court?
I'm not into rap music in any way,
rapping,
form, whatever.
Rapping not my thing, really. But
if it had been ambient DJ.
They seem to have quite a bit of trouble getting people to go up and have a go.
They had a massive trouble getting people to go up and have a go.
Gamers generally being quite reticent stay-at-home type. Yeah. Suddenly you had many extroverted people
wanting
to have a go.
Paid no attention to this game at all.
I don't know
what it's about.
I was watching some of it.
I knew that they were using the lips microphones.
It seemed to be a sort of very standard kind of music rhythm game type of thing, you know, like Rock Band where you have the singing track running along the top.
I'm aware of that.
You're aware of that, and so are you at home.
Lips, which they're using the microphones for,
I haven't really seen
the same thing.
Yeah,
or Sing
basically,
Star, which is a similar thing.
Words come along, light up as they go. You have to sing broadly the same kind of word at the same time. I think there was a sort of more of an emphasis on freestyling bits in the middle, as you do when you're rapping, you know.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem like it was quite worth the vast
if you
amount
like,
of fuss.
If you like the music, you may like the game.
Yeah.
If you don't like the music, you're not going to like the game.
Yeah, I'm sort of seeing Venn diagrams of people who like freestyle rapping and people who like...
I think you find that the kids today...
PS3s and whatever.
The kids today like that music.
Yeah. Right. We should probably stop bluffing then. It was there. It looked like it did the job.
It wasn't very popular.
Not many people were having a go. Yeah. No. Fair enough. Enslaved, Odyssey to the West. Oh, our first colon of the list. Oh no, Castlevania, Lords of Shadow. Okay, fair enough.
Second colon on the list.
Yes, Enslaved, Odyssey to the West. That was fantastic. We met Torag on the day, and he'd already been in and had a quick look at it, and he'd seen it. He came to me and he described it as basically you have this attempted rapist and some woman who's mind controlling this guy, and they end up in this weird sort of if I die you die kind of pact thing, and he was having quite a lot of trouble identifying with one character or the other. You know, it seemed tricky.
Now this, I believe, is the Andy Serkis game.
Is it?
Yeah. The rape.
I probably would have had to have
the
heard.
Rapist. The rapist monkeys and Andy Serkis.
Right. Okay.
You could tell by the way he moved.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, this is the company who did Heavenly Swords.
Okay. I can see that.
He said
.
Continuing a Yahtzee joke from the first zero punctuation. Yes. Yeah. Which I actually liked. I thought that was a good game. Early PS3 game.
Okay.
So this is a really nicely motion captured game.
Yeah.
And is it based on the monkey myth?
I have no idea.
Because he was a monkeyish guy, and he had his staff, which grew and shrank as needed.
It's some sort of power fist thing that had an extending quarter staff. I don't know.
Well, because the whole Monkey the 70s TV show, and also the recent-ish Jackie Chan and Jet Li film, which is worth a watch. It is not a bad film.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's actually based on an ancient myth.
Right. Don't know what to say about that, really. I didn't see much of it,
being played. It looked nice. It looked... If you hadn't told me it wasn't Heavenly Swords 2 years later, I wouldn't have known it wasn't.
Fair enough.
It looks very much like that.
Ah, there we go, then.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Okay, let's see what else we got. F1 2010.
Again, I paid no attention to any of that game at all.
That's the new Formula One thing, isn't it? Is that Codemasters?
Yeah. Yeah, I paid no attention to the displays because I've got it.
Yeah. I mean, there was quite a bit of this going on, really, wasn't there? There was sort of games being shown that you've gotten, in some cases, completed.
Yes.
Come to that later on as well. But
Still,
do you want to talk about that a bit anyway?
Yeah, it's a very, very competent driving game.
I've heard you and a work colleague discussing it at great length recently. You both got it, presumably, and apparently it sounds very, very technical.
It's Formula One.
Yeah. But they could have gone and just put the name and brand on a car.
They could have just done any old boring racing.
But this is the real deal. It's more of a simulation.
They're setting up your car. Yeah. You have to be very technical doing your driving. You have to be spot on, and a mistake will really cost you.
So the sort of thing that is not for the casual racing driver, I suppose.
A casual racer would find the game quite frustrating, I think.
Okay, fair enough. Fable 3. That was right in your face. That was the first thing you stumble on as you go in.
There were so many debug messages on screens over that.
Really?
Those were definitely running on dev consoles because they kept crashing and kept doing stuff.
Okay. So, I mean, do we know when Fable 3 is supposed to be out? I mean,
next month?
Yeah. Well, it looked playable.
This month,
there were people sat there with controllers getting on with gameplay and stuff.
It was a section of the main game. It wasn't the whole game.
And
it looks good. It looks much like the last one, but maybe a little bit better.
I think Ed was having a go at that one. He was asking the chaperone there all sorts of complex questions about black and white morality and stuff. But
yes,
causing trouble generally. Oh, don't look at that as a collector, especially the controller one.
It's out at the end of October.
Wow, look at that.
Anyway, I will stop looking at them.
Didn't look. Okay, so if you've got Fable 1 and you've got Fable 2 and you compare them together, there's a massive leap between Fable 1 and Fable 2 in quality,
Fable
style,
1
graphics.
Xbox, Fable 2 Xbox 360. So there was always going to be a massive
leap. But what I was seeing looking at this as a game that didn't look that much more advanced than Fable 2, which isn't a bad thing itself. It just didn't look like...
It's more Fable 2. Some of us haven't played Fable 2 for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years since we've
been fairly recently playing it.
And I'm really excited about Fable 3 because I like the concept of what it's going to do, and just put me back in that world for a couple, for 20 more hours.
So very, very much a case, I think this is perhaps one of the criticisms I was finding throughout the show, was that a lot of the sequels tend to look more or less identical to the... Well, not identical, but you don't see a lot of advancement these days from a first product to a sequel.
So far we've had Brink, Bulletstorm, then not sequels, Def Jam, Rapstar, that's just a Def... I don't know if that could be counted as one. Brotherhood is a sequel. Yeah, so we've got actually out of this, three of these games aren't actually sequels so far. Out of the ones we've covered.
Oh, I know. Just in general, though. I mean, as we work down,
I think we just covered the three which aren't sequels.
Fair enough. But yeah, so I think if you like Fable 2, you'll love this one.
Yeah.
It's more of the same, I suppose, but with knobs on it, I think. And John Cleese doing voiceovers.
And Simon Pegg.
Yeah, lots of famous loveys.
Yeah.
Charlie Brooker's in there somewhere?
Charlie Brooker's in there somewhere.
I don't know. Yeah, difficult to... we only got to see a small bit of it that they were showing anyway. I don't know whether that was an early intro bit.
I don't know.
It looked like some sort of princeling living an ideal life in a castle, talking to domestic staff and so on. So I'm guessing that situation doesn't last forever.
No.
Something probably goes quite badly wrong.
No, you've got it completely wrong.
Have I?
You have to start by bringing down the existing ruler, then take over and live with your consequences of what you've promised to get there.
Oh, well, that sounds a lot more elaborate than could be conveyed in what we saw then. So
yeah, although it should be taken into account that I'm going on what Molyneux says the game's about.
So at any point,
this may be scaled massively down in expectations.
Okay, Fallout New Vegas.
It's Fallout 3, but orange.
Fallout 3, but they've got an orange HUD instead of a green one. So
the entire game's orange instead of green.
Yeah. I mean, I had this trouble. We saw Fallout 2, didn't we?
Fallout 3 at the first Eurogamer.
Yeah, and we saw that, and we got almost nothing from our little hands-on with it, because it's quite a complex and involved RPG. So
when I played New Vegas, I did get something from it.
Yeah.
This is exactly the same as Fallout 3.
It did, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that the differences will be in the story rather than anything else particularly. But if you're expecting new mechanics or a new engine at all, then you're not going to get one with this.
Needless to say, it's a must-buy for me.
Well, it'd be... I mean, there's probably a reason why they haven't called it Fallout 4. You know?
Yeah, there is. Mm. It's a separate team.
Think of it as a very big mission pack, I suppose.
Yeah. Which is not a bad thing as long as the plot works.
That was in the adult bit as well. Yeah. FIFA 11.
I saw that came out Friday. I walked past it too.
I have no interest whatsoever in football
PES
games.
PES may have also been there, but I couldn't tell on the front.
I don't know.
I don't care about football games at all.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, Pro Evolution Soccer down later in the list. And I wouldn't be able to tell you the difference between them, to be honest.
No.
It looked like the usual kind of thing. Yeah, sideways camera tracking ball. I can do
a proper review of it if you want. Yeah. It's like last year's, but they've improved some bits.
Well, there
and
you go.
And some bits will maybe be slightly worse.
If you liked FIFA 10, you'll probably like this.
Yeah.
And probably be quite annoyed at having to buy the same game every
year.
No,
you don't mind.
No, okay, fair enough. Gears of War 3, then. Let's talk that. That was obviously in the adult section.
Yes.
Lots of Chainsaw of Mayhem. The bits we saw was quite fun, though.
They were showing the beast mode. You know, they were only showing the beast mode.
That struck me, yeah, there was that. But it was in a jungle setting that was actually quite vibrant and brightly coloured.
Yes, it was more green this time.
I know. I thought, are you sure this is Gears? they're using more than one colour on the palette.
Yeah. They were showing the beast mode, which is like Horde mode. But you're the bad guys.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Up against NPC good guys. And you start with a ticker. And you work by killing people, you work up points, which you can spend on bigger and bigger guys to be. So you start by just being a ticker and running up to someone and exploding.
Yeah, you just got this press B to explode. That's your attack. That's brilliant.
So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And I know that's going to eat up an awful lot of multiplayer
There was
hours.
Beast mode against NPC gears.
The
soldiers were NPCs. But
they
also
were stranded as well. I don't know if there's a versus.
I imagine there's a versus
with
Beast.
I don't think there is. I'm not sure.
No? Oh, I don't know then.
But then again, the game's just been delayed from April to next Christmas.
Next Christmas.
So... Hmm. Is it a whole year till it comes out now, so we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, right. Well, it looked pretty playable, but perhaps there's rethinks in the works then, if they're not delayed that long.
No one knows quite why they delayed. It's possible that Microsoft just wanted a really, really big title for Christmas next year.
Okay, all good. It's GoldenEye next.
Do you want to... Shall we let the random person who was standing next to us when we were looking at it review it? What did they say?
Oh, they just turned around and... I don't know, we walked up to it and we had a lot of trouble to find it.
Well, missed it the first time.
Well, we missed the entire Nintendo 8 square feet as well to begin with. I mean, they had a tiny little rostrum there and they had about 3 or 4 DSs and a number of Wiis. And basically, it was a big cluster of Super Mario Galaxies hiding the middle one, which had GoldenEye on it, and for good reason, because it looked rubbish. I was basically stood there and I was just turned to John and goes, it looks pretty rubbish. And the guy in front of me just turns around and goes, yeah, it's rubbish, isn't it? Is it? I just thought, oh dear, that's not gone down well.
It is going to look appalling on any large TV. They had it on the smallest monitor that they could find as well.
Yeah, and there was, just directly above it was an enormous, like, 50-inch screen showing some DS thing.
Yes.
they were playing 4-player split screen, quarter of a screen ago, which didn't do them any favours.
So they had about 20 pixels by 20 pixels for
their
screen.
And you know
what?
It looked almost identical, and same look and feel, same textures even, to the N64 version that me and you ended up playing some Christmas party about 15 years ago. So I'm really not impressed with that at all.
It could really do with not being on the Wii. The Wii is holding it back.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The Wii can't do anti-aliasing?
No, the Wii just can't do the graphics any better than
it
that.
It just really... I don't know. I couldn't say how the gameplay flows because I'd find the graphics too
distracting.
That's the problem.
The gameplay could be exactly as good as the original GoldenEye, but we have Halos and Gears of Wars and all those other games now where we can play on our consoles that we already have.
I think the scene has moved on. Yeah.
I think the GoldenEye crowd, people are going to buy it for nostalgia reasons.
Well, yeah, but you don't develop a full game and launch it purely on the basis of a nostalgic thing. Or if you do, you try and sell it as such. You do the whole, hey, look, this is the game from 15 years ago that we've re-released. It's awesome. You know, they seem to be trying to market this as a proper contemporary shooter, which it just can't hold up at all to anything else we saw there.
They're going into a market. I mean, it may just be because we had seen the creme de la creme of other shooters all around it from all of the other major manufacturers. There was massive games there. And when we saw GoldenEye, it was blatantly the worst looking thing.
Yeah, and it sort of, I don't know, further divorces Nintendo away from...
And the people
what,
that were...
360
the
and
people
PS2,
who were playing it were not really that impressed.
No, no, they were coming away from it muttering. And yeah. Well, like I say, a random stranger turns around to me and remarks how crap it is. You know, is that bad? This is rubbish, I've got to tell someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took us a couple of goes to find it at all. It's almost like they were embarrassed.
There was
it.
Basically a... imagine you got a box of one side missing.
Mm.
On the inside of the far wall was it. And on the outside was all the shiny games like Mario Galaxy 2 and everything you want people to see.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's move on then. Gran Turismo 5.
It's one of their anti-games.
Oh, go on then. Off you go.
Gran Turismo 5
looks
gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to play gorgeous and it just looks brilliant.
Yeah, this is one we've been waiting for a very long time as well. There was a GT Prologue thing where they charged a charge for the work in progress.
Yeah.
And this, that and the other. We've mentioned it quite a bit on the show.
Yeah, it's a game where you can't really tell what it's like at a show because racing games, they all sort of race well, guaranteed. So it depends on what the surrounding game's like as to whether or not it's going to be any good.
Okay.
But it does look rather gorgeous. The other thing is when you're not playing and you're watching a racing game, you start noticing stuff like when cars crash into each other, it looks a bit dodgy and stuff, but they all do.
I suppose, well, so they in general, racing games rely on you being too focused on not crashing to not notice how bad it looks, etc.
Yeah, when something's wrong, you tend to notice it unless you're actually driving.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's hard to say.
Hmm. So that must be out soon or already?
Yes, that's out November.
Right.
Now
is that one you're going to be going for?
Yeah, I'm buying that.
Hmm, okay.
Yes, yes, it's probably the big PS3 game I want next.
Hmm.
Yeah. Of course, this is where the rant comes.
No,
we'll save the rant.
You're going to save the rant? Okay.
We'll save the rant when we talk about the PC games.
All right. Halo Reach. I don't imagine you'll want to talk about this much. Oh, well, actually, we haven't done a what we're playing in which you've talked about Reach.
No, we'll do that next week.
You've already got it.
There was something really, really funny
that
we should have to mention about Reach.
Go on, then.
In one corner of the Sony stand,
somebody
had put Reach. And that had more crowd at one point than we're looking at Gran Turismo.
Oh, no, was that not the competitive gamey bit? They had a little thing in the middle involving a number of different games where they were getting people to come and try their luck. But yeah, Reach sort of stealing the thunder from the Sony stand a bit.
Again, Reach, funny game to be there, really. Not many people were paying it a lot of attention because everyone's got it.
I think, it's been out, 2 weeks or so by now?
Yeah, three maybe.
And anyone who wanted it day one, who's desperate, who's going to go to a show to see it, probably would have gone and bought it on day one anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I'm always a bit bemused by existing games being there, unless they're there for another reason. I mean, we saw quite a few games there that were not there for themselves, but to show off Nvidia's 3D. Technology, or this, that, and the other. But okay, so Heavy Rain Move, we couldn't find that.
Wasn't there?
No, it wasn't there.
It on my computer, on my PS3 downstairs.
Yeah, well, there we go then. I mean, do you want to talk about that anyway? Because I particularly wanted to see this because I believed that the Heavy Rain was the ideal situation in which to be using a Move as a peripheral.
Heavy Rain is the ideal game for selling Move.
Yeah, so you've played it with Move.
Yeah, and it is the ideal game for selling Move.
Yeah. Because basically the gameplay in Heavy Rain, for anyone who doesn't know, is basically about using the combination of triangle, square, X, and shaking the controller in different directions to make the characters in this novel basically work through and do actions and activities.
If Heavy Rain should have been released alongside Move, if I was Sony, I would have delayed it because Move would have been a critical success if they had done that. Everyone would have said, yes, it's brilliant.
A bit more than the sum of each of its parts there. Yeah. Move would have done better and Heavy Rain would have done better.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll move straight on then. We got Hunted, The Demon's Forge. Oh, another colon. I didn't see this.
I didn't see it either.
I think I saw it. I don't know. It looked like some chick with a bow and some guy with a gladiator sword and shield. They were doing jumpy puzzles and stuff. It's like a sort of co-op-y type of third-person adventure.
Let me...
But I don't know.
Yeah, keep talking.
I can't ad-lib on a game. I didn't really pay much attention. It was quite tucked quite far at the back of the 18 area, though. So
Apocalyptical. Blah, blah, blah,
oh, well, Eurogamer's got a review of it, by the looks of it, or preview.
Blah, blah, blah. it didn't register at all.
Oh, well, we'll have to skip that one then. Let's see. Well, Infamous 2, didn't see that.
Wasn't there.
Wasn't there.
I was looking for that. I didn't see it at all.
No, that's a shame.
I wanted to see that.
Okay, Just Dance 2. I saw that. It was... quite marginalised. It was off on one corner. There was a couple of eight-year-old children playing with it, and everyone else was ignoring it. So, probably more of the same there, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. So basically, that's your dance game for the Wii, where you hold the Wii boat, and presumably it can work out what your feet are doing somehow.
Yeah.
Strap them to your ankles. I don't know.
Feet aren't important in dancing. What do you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about the hands. Killzone 3 and Killzone 3 Move. Did we see Move?
I didn't see Killzone 3 being played with Move, because the Killzone 3 was in the 18 area,
yeah,
wasn't
it?
Yeah,
so Killzone 3 Move X2, X being the adult area. I don't know.
No, I saw Killzone being played.
All right, so Killzone 3, any good? Have you played 2 or 1? Or
Killzone's one of those games where, like Motorstorm, which we'll get to again later, also like Army of 2 and Forced Unleashed 2,
mm-hmm.
they're games where people never remember how bad the last game was.
It's our job to remind them.
Yeah, and everyone's hopeful that the next game is going to be brilliant.
Mm.
Sometimes that will happen. Like, I think Force Unleashed 2 might be, but Killzone 1 was awful. Killzone 2 was not. It looked gorgeous, but it really was slow, sluggish, and didn't play well.
Mm.
Motorstorm, again, never quite as good as people remember.
Did you get a look over anyone's shoulders for Killzone 3? Did it look like it was responsive and such?
It's hard to tell. You can't really tell without actually playing it for a while to see, but I'm not...
And we were far too cool to have a go at most of these games, so...
Can be asked to queuing,
yeah. All right, Little Big Planet 2. I didn't even know there needed to be one of these, to be honest. I thought the whole point of Little Big Planet was it's a platform and we're going to do loads of expansion content.
Yes, the Little Big Planet 2 is a platform which will take all the content from Little Big Planet 1 and still do it. So it's an upgrade to the platform.
So what, you can buy it as an expansion?
No, you just buy the new disc and all of the other levels.
Everything
on,
it's ever
all
done
the levels,
for one.
Yeah, will work with it.
So probably a good buy if you're looking...
If you like Little Big Planet 1, you're going to buy it.
Yeah, it looked like the same sort of thing. I mean,
it did. I didn't spend a lot of time looking at it because I know what it is. There was nothing surprising about it.
Sort of mix and match, make your own sideways platformer, basically.
Yeah.
And was there something where it looked a bit Guitar Hero? Stuff coming down.
Yeah,
you
can make more than just a side platform game now. You can make a lot more.
That's
it's going to be good. It's going to be great.
Yeah, fair enough.
All you need to know about it, really. Delayed till early next year.
Fair enough. Mafia 2.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah,
that was everywhere.
There was no one playing that.
No, everyone's completed it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's been out for like months, hasn't it?
End of August.
I don't even know why that was there.
I don't know.
It's not cutting edge. It wasn't particularly revolutionary.
I don't think that publisher had many games.
Oh, fair enough. Medal of Honor. There was a lot of queuing for that. There's a whole wall of Medal of Honors. If I should show you on the little map that you can't see at home.
Medal of Honors.
All of that diagonal bit was
just announced. That whole thing about having the Taliban in the game. They've decided not to do it 2 weeks before launch because it was all a big publicity stunt.
Okay.
Big doody heads.
Right. Fair enough. Because we really enjoy publicity stunts. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Medal of Honor is not going to be as successful as people think because.
So Medal of Honor is the big shooter for which platform?
Both.
Both. Okay.
It's the third big shooter of the year.
Okay, and it's competitor. His biggest nearest competitors are
Modern Warfare, Halo, Reach.
Okay, Bad Company.
Bad Company, yes, would have been if it was out around now, but yeah.
So another top-flight first-person squad-based shooter.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, it's a modern-day shooter set in Afghanistan. Yeah.
Controversial.
Yeah, do we need, we got Battlefield 2, we've got the Call of Duty franchise. Do we need a third modern-day shooter?
Also, I wonder about the tastelessness of perhaps setting these modern first-person squad-based tactical shooter things in existing and ongoing conflicts.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of people have mentioned that.
It just seems a bit, I don't know, slightly in poor taste.
Crass.
I mean, was it? Battlefield Bad Company 2 is basically contemporary, and it's in this bizarre parallel universe where the Russians have invaded. And there's all sorts of battles going on in South America.
I think it's basically set a week next Thursday,
where
you've had a really bad week.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to replicate any actual ongoing wars or anything like that, which I think is probably the more tasteful and safer route to take.
Yeah, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Wouldn't want to play a game which is replicating an ongoing war in which people are being killed in the news that day.
It's the reason I'm not buying it.
No.
I've got no interest in it.
No. All right, let's move on. We got Metroid Other M. I think that was probably about the biggest and most anticipated thing that they were showing in the token Nintendo corral.
Still in my boxes.
Have you got it?
Yeah.
Have you played it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Any good?
Yeah.
All right. I honestly, I know nothing. It's like there's this girl in a power armor that can turn into a beach ball. I don't
you
know.
You just spoiled the first Metroid.
Have I? Oh, spoilers.
She's a girl.
Yeah, she's a girl. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you like the 3D Metroids, you're going to like this. It's a bit clunky in places, but.
Another installment, yeah.
More of the same. Oh, it might also be incredibly sexist.
No, fair enough.
Depends on point of
view. I'm going to digress off the list because it doesn't say on the list, but they had a mysterious black tent of with a big queue outside of it with Zelda written on
the side.
That was
the blowjob tent.
I'm pretty sure something not gaming related was going on there because there was a massive queue and all sorts of black cloth secrecy going on. But basically, yeah, it was like a standalone black tented
booth.
That
may have been a 3DS, you know.
Yeah, well, I wonder what was going on in there, and perhaps that's why everyone was queuing for it. I don't know. But then I suppose there is a subset of gamers who really love the Zelda stuff. So if it's a new Zelda, then...
Zelda's a good game. Yeah. But yeah, it could have been a 3DS because there was no other 3DS there, no sign of it at all, which really surprised me. So if they just had the one of them, which is possible, and it was a long queue to
see. So was that black tent to stop people seeing in unless they sign something, or was that black tent to keep ambient light out because whatever it is they're using could only be used in
darkness?
It was
really secretive.
Yeah, it was strange, yeah. And the queue was too big for us to find out because we're...
lazy.
We're not very cutting-edge journalists like that, no. All right, moving on then. We got MotorStorm Apocalypse.
Yeah, MotorStorm. Drive around, boom, crash.
Yeah, I don't know. That seemed interesting because it was basically like you were racing high-performance sports cars through the ruins of Washington, D.C. in Fallout 3.
The first
Is that their big thing?
The first MotorStorm was basically driving around an island.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was driving around somewhere else. Might be another island. And this one, they're just doing post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, for something like burnt-out subway trains and collapsed bridges and skyscrapers that did actually collapse as you drove past them and stuff.
Yeah, and our split second's done that already. Oh, the thing about MotorStorm is a game where you're racing with three different types of vehicles at once. So, and all of your tracks have different routes to go through. So if you're on an ATV or a motorbike, you can take a different route to if you're on a big truck.
So you've got to keep an eye out for the class-specific shortcuts, I suppose.
Yeah, basically.
All right.
And it never really plays as good as a game as it should be. I don't know why, but the game just, they never...
They could probably...
The first two just weren't as good as they should have been.
Okay. Let's see, what do we got? Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. I saw that. That was ridiculous.
I was licking the screen almost.
Yeah, well, this is the big Criterion thing.
That's why I was licking the screen. Yes. They could be releasing anything.
You don't care, do you? It just seemed really bizarrely absurd. It's like these super high-performance racing cars with, like, police lights on and police checks down the side. It's ridiculous. What police force needs Formula One police cars, you know?
That's burnout. This was Zondas and stuff. And I'll have you know that in Italy, there are Lamborghini police cars.
I got to see that. All right, we'll look that up after the show. So it was very much focusing on the cops and robbers.
It's a chase thing. You've got cops chasing robbers and...
It didn't look like it had just straight time racing or...
No, it's all cops chasing robbers and you've got certain abilities. It's by the people who made Burnout, so...
I was expecting it to be more fun, to be honest.
It looked really fun.
It didn't look fun. It was just racing, and occasionally you have to avoid the speed traps where they put stingers on the road.
It looked fun.
You know, you couldn't psych out takedowns and wall takedowns.
People were taking people down.
I don't know. It just seemed to
I liked the bit when the police car ended up in front and was driving along quite happily until I mentioned, is the police car meant to be in front? Then he stopped.
I mean, I think I've seen that kind of gameplay in arcade machines 20 years ago.
But it's Criterion, so it will be good.
I don't know. It seems like it's taking quite a divergence away from Burnout Paradise, which is the big sandbox, just have a load of fun jumping stuff and racing.
I'm a little bit against this because it means they're not working on the next Burnout.
A little bit linear,
but,
I think.
It looked good. I think I like it.
All right. Well.
I will know after I've played it.
Fair enough. Pro Evolution Soccer 2011. Next. Professor Layton and the Lost Future.
Next.
I saw it.
There's nothing wrong with Professor Layton. Professor Layton games are good.
Oh, they're good
It's
games.
Just if you're going to review a Professor Layton game, your review just reads, look at the review of the last game until you get back to the first one, which actually reviews it.
So it's probably going to be a lot more of the same, but with different puzzles, which is basically what you want, isn't it?
Creepy old man, grooming kids, puzzles involved.
I'm sure that's all perfectly innocent. Let's see, we got Raving Rabbids Travel in Time.
I didn't see it.
Didn't see that. I don't think it was there, no. Rock Band 3. That was there. Big old stage set there. They had the drums, the guitars, the microphone, new keyboard peripheral,
yes,
apparently.
And new guitar one. Now, on this we learnt that, was it grade 7 piano?
He's
not
know.
Good enough to play the keyboard.
Yeah, Ed was having a go at that. He's in some of my static groups on Mumble, and sometimes when he's bored, he plays music at us. I'm sure you were there.
Yes. Yeah. Lotro group. You could always tell when he was bored because the music would start.
Yeah, he'd suddenly sound distant on the microphone, and then there'd be like piano renditions of this, that, and the other appearing. It was all very cultured and very highbrow.
Yeah.
So he's a man who knows how to play a piano, and with a fair degree of competency too. But when thrust in front of this, I don't know, it's very small, very short. It had about, I don't know, 15 notes, 20 notes.
It was 2 octaves, I think.
2 octaves worth. It did have the white and the black keys, which apparently musician types need both of. I think the way they did it with that is that they broken up 3 notes and 2 black notes into 1 colour block. Then the next 3 whites are the next colour, and then the next 3 whites. And so you can play in sort of Mickey Mouse, well, rock band mode.
Yeah.
Which basically means that when your colour comes down the track, you just need to mash one of the 3 notes
then,
and you'll get
then
it.
They have pro mode, which is actually hit the right note. Now, the problem he was finding was the notation is completely alien to anyone who plays the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah. He was saying that, you know, it meant nothing to him, even though he can read sheet music.
Yeah.
So you'd basically, yet again, I think they released a peripheral for this music game, which just teaches you how to get good at using that peripheral.
Yeah. Well, no, it's going to teach you how to do the fingering and stuff, I guess, but it's not going to teach you how to read music.
Could you get 2 hands on that keyboard? It was quite short.
Yeah, but that's a lot. Well, most music is made with keyboards of that size.
No, fair
or
enough.
Only slightly bigger.
I suppose we're not expecting a grand piano or anything, but
It looked
fun, but I think it's going to confuse and frustrate people who, as we saw,
I don't think it's going to take long to learn.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that people will adapt quite quickly. Yeah. Within 10, 20 hours, they'll be up to speed.
It didn't help that everyone else on with him kept picking rock tracks where there was like 2 keyboard notes.
Whenever there was a cheer whenever he got to push a button, that was good.
That's great. I can't even remember what they were. It was quite rocky, though. And the rest of it was what you'd expect. Microphone, guitars.
The new guitar.
Drum kit. Let's talk about the new guitar. That was around the side on its own.
Now, the new guitar has the 6 different colours going up the screen.
Yeah.
But you have the indicator on it that says do this note.
There's a number as well.
Now has a number, which is the fret number. And your new guitar has lots and lots and lots of buttons on the frets.
It has 120 buttons or something stupid.
And it has strings. And that is actually teaching you to play the guitar again in a way which is completely not compatible with reading music.
I mean, obviously, Guitar Hero and its ilk have attracted a lot of scorn and sort of hostility from, finger quotes, real musicians, because they don't really teach you how to play a proper instrument.
No.
You might as well go and learn a proper
instrument.
And
they never teach you the theory anyway, because the drums were the closest we've had to teaching you how to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn to play the drums there, but you don't know the theory, you don't know what you're doing. And these are the same. So, you know, you're not going to know how to read the music, but it's teaching you how to play the music. And if you get good and memorize how to play, say, a song on guitar on Rock Band,
so to play
you will be able to play it on a real one.
Could you do proper chords at high levels
of
difficulty?
I didn't see people doing it, but
it looked like one note coming down.
No, yes, you can do chords, yeah. Yeah.
So
there were chord notes.
So, and you're umming and ahhing about getting one, aren't you?
I am actually umming and ahhing about getting one.
Fair enough.
And the keyboard as well.
Hmm. Okay.
Wonder if it worked with any old USB keyboard. That'd be nice.
But I think the new many, many buttons Guitar Hero guitar may bridge the gaps.
Making that move. They've got to a point where they've got these pro modes where it will give you skills for music. Not all the skills for music, but some of them.
You'd still have to go away and
this is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. I don't think there's any harm in letting people who can only manage red, yellow and green have a bit of fun with it as well, though. I mean, I have trouble with 4 buttons. You know, I've recently been playing Guitar Hero 2 and trying to set it on the mode difficulty mode where that introduces the blue one as well. And it's just really hard work because it throws a lot more stuff on the screen as well. And I'm having trouble, to be honest. Okay, let's move on. We got Saw 2. Yeah.
It's like Saw 1.
That was in the 18 area, funnily enough.
It was right by the door of the 18 area.
You could see it from outside, which was a bit ill-advised. Out of all the games, it looked horrific. I mean, I don't like the whole concept of Saw anyway. It's basically slasher horror.
Yeah, I don't like the squirmy horror.
It's
I like
Gorn.
Yeah.
TV Tropes calls it. Yeah,
I like scary horror, where you don't get to see stuff.
Yeah.
Because that does scare me.
Psychological horrors, yeah, we can take that. But if it's just about cutting and slicing and stuff in gratuitous as way as possible. Well, I don't know. If you like that, you'll probably like Saw 2. The bit I accidentally saw because I was looking in the wrong direction was some guy pressing X to cut his own eyeball out with a scalpel.
You see, I'm not...
In full screen detail.
One of the complaints about the first Saw game last year was...
Horrible.
It's a game where you don't really feel connected because... when you're watching the film...
I suppose it's got to be really visceral if it's not going to work.
When you're watching the film, you emphasise with the guy doing it. But when you're being asked to do it by pressing X, no one's losing out.
You're doing it to that guy, and it's a computer guy anyway.
You're doing it to yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
And, it just doesn't feel the same.
Strange concept, really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it works better in films than it does in the games.
Yeah, uh-huh. Fair enough. Let's move on. SOCOM Special Forces.
Oh,
this was a big Move
They were pushing this heavily in the Move bit.
Yeah.
It was the first-person shooter they were pushing in the Move bit.
Yeah.
And watching people play that, if anyone was thinking Move was going to make first-person shooters more accurate and more fun to play... Sorry, folks, you're in for a disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I saw a different bit. I mean, I saw some guy crouching on a top, behind a chest-high wall on an overpass, looking down into a yard full of terrorists or something, and you use the Move to point where the gun's going to go, and it was basically a sort of sniper level. I don't know. I wish I'd actually had taken the time to queue and have a go at the Move, to be honest. I mean, I know you've got one and we can have a go at it later.
Well, when we do what we're playing, we'll be talking about this because Mag is something I've got for Move.
Okay.
So we can talk about that.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say how accurate it was.
Not very. You could see where they were pointing at, and they were not doing as well as they would have with a controller.
Yeah. And I wonder if the gimmickry of Move was detracting from the game itself.
But then again, SOCOM's never really been a great game.
It's not one of the top-notch
shooters. It's always been sort of a middling shooter.
Okay.
And people may disagree with that, but...
Fair enough. Sports Champions, it says Sony there. That would be another Move one.
Yes, that was the big Move game.
That's your business. I think it was in America
that comes with the Move, but because Sony hate Europe, you have to buy it separately.
Yeah, Sony hate Europe. Yeah, there was people.
I described that in the
there.
Last What We're Playing show, didn't I?
Yeah, there's kind of a bit some. Yeah, but the archery and the sword fighting you said weren't on the demo disc.
Yeah.
And those were the fun ones. And I saw people doing the archery one. Oh, it's quite cool. You have to use one of the things to reach over your back to get the arrow out each time you want to reload and all that. And holding the bow, drawing back and all that. It seemed to do what it said on the tin. I mean, I couldn't say how fatiguing it would be over a long session or whatever. But
it just didn't look like the sort of party game that it should be.
No. And I think there was—I didn't see any. I think there was sword fighting, but I didn't see anyone playing that one. So
no one's gonna like the sword fighting.
Fair enough. The Fight,
yes,
also Sony. Again, another Move one. This would be the boxing cage.
Yeah, I didn't pay a lot of attention to that.
Quite gritty. I wondered if Edward Norton was a playable class. You know,
yeah, it's a boxing game. Don't really like them. It should work really, really well. You need two Move controllers to play it properly.
Mm. Yeah, that was the odd thing. It seemed like most of the really sort of involved Move stuff involved a ping pong ball stick in each hand.
Yeah,
which you don't get two of. You have to buy an extra one.
You have to buy when you buy even the starter kit. You just get the one ping pong ball and the camera. You don't get the bit needed for the first person shooters, which is the or Move or for or Heavy Rain, which is the left hand control bit.
Oh, right. So this is all piecemeal.
You need to buy three things. And or the camera, if you've already got it, just to get into Move.
Right. And they're doing this because they reckon it make it cheaper than Kinect.
Yeah, they want to appear cheaper.
Well, for the initial thing,
and it can look cheaper to start with.
Fair enough. The Shoot.
Yes. Hello.
No, Shoot.
Did I mention that in the last What We're Playing game?
Sure. No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's awful.
That was because I saw some people with ping pong balls with a clipping gun holder thing.
Yeah, that's a pop up Duck Hunt type game.
Oh, right.
Really awful.
Okay.
Appallingly so.
Fair enough. Trials HD.
I didn't pay that any attention at all because I love Trials HD. Yeah, they've got an expansion pack coming out anytime now, already out, that's why.
Because Trials HD's been out for at least a year.
It's also one of the most successful games on Xbox Live ever, if not the most successful, so yeah.
So I was quite surprised to see that there, really, and I thought, well, that must be the sequel or an expansion or something.
It is an expansion, I believe,
fair enough.
And it's still brilliant.
Yeah, it's still good fun. You know, sideways scroller motorbike jumping over an assault course.
Yeah.
Landing in some very painful manners if you get it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
It looks great. Vanquish. I I took one look at that and just got synesthesia because it was just going off. And that was the one where this like flying sci-fi robot suit guy managed to catch a massive shell and stuff it back down into the mecha hydra more thing that fired at him and made it blow up. It looked ridiculously awesome and probably far too over the top to play seriously.
It's rubbish. I played it.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, that's the end of the list. Do you remember anything else that was there that wasn't on the
something
list?
They announced on Thursday, which we actually spent most of the time looking at.
Oh yeah. Oh, Kinect. Let's talk Kinect then. Yes, they had a proper dance stage there. Well, they had two sections, one each side of this big wall. There was the presumably some professionally trained young dancing thing there who's
not good enough to not look bored after standing there for 2 days.
Looked like she was enjoying herself, it was just chewing gum as she was doing the dancing. And the rather tight Kinect t-shirt on, and just generally, there was a lot of thigh rubbing going.
There
on
was
the
a lot
crowd
of thigh
around
rubbing,
the place.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they were showing, I believe it was Kinect Dance Extreme Dance Academy thing, Strictly Come Kinect.
I wasn't entirely clear which dance game it was.
Well, basically, what happened, it was very much in the sort of Guitar Hero vein. It was a rhythm game, like Dance Dance Revolution. Why I was watching that, and I was thinking, you just don't have a floor mat here, that's all.
Yeah, but still, the dancing motions. Games are big.
It's not for us, is it?
The one on the Wii, Just Dance, has been really big this year and has sold an awful lot of copies. And I think this is one of the breakout games for Kinect. It's one of the ones which does work.
This is the stuff that sells these things to people who aren't us.
Because
gets
around... there was some latency on it, but it's hard to tell if it mattered because the entire game was designed around not needing it.
Well, there's a full screen, rather robotic Thunderbirds looking marionette doing the dancing along to, I think it was Funky Town Over and Over, wasn't it?
There were other songs were available.
Apparently
there was a bit of No
available.
Doubt, but it was mainly Funky Town.
Yes.
Which explains the pained look on the young lady's face.
I know, she must have been really sick of that by now.
She didn't look like she was born when it was released.
No.
Definitely not.
There's that as well. I mean, so you had the one dancer in the middle and then two backing dancers. Yeah. And I don't believe the Kinect was even caring what the other two behind were doing because all three of the figures on the screen were dancing in exact unison all the time.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what the point of the other people were.
Okay, so then to one side you have a series of moves that come up and, arm motions, leg motions, whatever, and you're supposed to copy them. And next to that is a little silhouette camera view of yourself.
I don't know why that was there.
It was there to show how out of sync the camera and
it was
dancing.
It was less than half a second, but it doesn't matter.
It was a couple of beats. I don't know.
Because what it's doing is you're matching the stuff on the screen. It knows what the delay is, and it's scoring
you
against where you should have been.
If it's written well enough,
and that's how the scoring was working. So it didn't need to be showing you what you were doing.
And then there was a big sort of ghetto blaster on the floor next to the computer dancey person, and that was basically having a series of stars on, which is like your rock star power thing, but for people moving their bodies about instead of
if you
of
like
guitar.
Dance games, I reckon this is the one that's going to be the best one for people to have.
Yeah.
Because I think Kinect really, really does work for this.
Yeah.
You've got no latency issues at all because of the way the game is. It's a dancing game which is tracking your whole body. So you're not just tracking your arm.
It looked like it did the job. It did what it was
meant to do
well.
If you like dancing games, I think this is the killer feature for you.
Yeah, we got in, we saw it. I decided I wasn't nearly drunk enough to have a go at that. And then we went away, found a pub. I had 2 pints and a brandy. I came back and I still wasn't drunk enough to have a go. So I can't see any situation, really. I mean, if I bought it and was doing it myself at home on my own, I'd feel a bit stupid.
You can't see any occasion when a 30-something male with no kids would want to play this dancing game.
There we go. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Right, okay, I should be getting one of those at the first opportunity. round the other side of the big wall, there was some more of what we might consider proper games. There was the big Kinect Adventures paddle on the raft thing.
Yeah,
and
Woot.
Yeah,
wow.
Which I thought we were watching Saw for a moment, because there's one level where the two players are trapped in a glass box at the bottom of the sea where the glass is breaking, and you have to keep putting your hand over the cracks to stop it flooding.
That looked like it worked quite well.
I don't know. I seem to see people missing quite a lot. Maybe there's a certain amount of personal calibration.
I think so,
yeah. You've got to get used to
it. That's the thing. There was no real calibration in these games. Unlike Move, where you're calibrating all the time, in Kinect, you're not really doing it. You just have to stand in the right place. And one of the games was telling you to move forwards and move back to be in the right place. Yeah. But that was while you were playing.
Yeah, just to make it a bit easier to see, I suppose.
Unlike in, say, the Wii and Move, with the Wii, we only got Motion Plus, it will... tell you need to recalibrate now, but Kinect could do it dynamically.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good thing. The middle one was showing some racing game where you hold your fists yeah, out in the steering wheel motion.
It's a game which I do not see why exists.
No, I mean, of all the uses you could put Kinect to, pretending to hold a steering wheel and just standing in one place, it doesn't seem to be the best one, but it seemed to work, although, again, pretty much everyone I saw have a go at it seemed to be crap at it. Yeah. I think there's a certain element of we're going to have to get used to Kinect as well as Kinect being good enough to do
I would
what we
like
want.
To see non-gamers playing it.
I think in a number of cases there was like wives and girlfriends. Yeah, I would like, perhaps, were the gamers themselves. It doesn't matter. Either way, they were not really doing that well at
it. If Kinect's going to succeed, it has to be playable and doable by people who don't know what a computer game is.
Yeah. You got to just get up and stand in front of it and go for it, and it's got to be able to then process that and deal with it correctly. The last one was your Kinect, I can't remember what it's called now, some sort of Olympic Kinect Sports. Yeah, a number of different games available. There was like a table tennis one, a race, a 100 meter dash one, there was like beach volleyball. Yeah. That seemed to be the popular one. That was the one that people wanted to have a go on the most.
Yeah, the others weren't.
Apart from the dance thing around the other side, obviously. Yeah. That was a huge queue for that. But Ed and Asgard had a go.
Yes, Asgard is invisible
to
Kinect.
Yeah, that was weird. It just did not register him at all, which I thought was a bit strange. I mean, he's obviously made of some kind of, unobtainium, but... Well, no, he's somewhat shorter than the rest of us, but apart from that, a normal human shape, there's no reason it shouldn't have been able to pick up his hand move. I mean, just to hold your hands in the air to start move, I mean, if you can't pick that up, you're screwed, really. And it took some wag from some random joker leaning in and waving at it to kick it off in the end. You know, it spotted this hand coming in from off the edge of the detection zone.
But
it
didn't see him.
Couldn't see him, and he was in the middle waving at it and all sorts. Ed had a go at it as well. He was there all out. And there, they did the running thing, and Ed just started doing the robot.
Ed managed to get that character into some rather painful.
If you've
ever
gamed with Ed, you'll know he has a unique talent for finding breaking games and finding bugs and doing
this is
dynamic
man,
QA.
This is a man who has a title in LOTRO, which you get for
bugging out of the map. So he started body popping or whatever in front of it, and he's still managed to win because the thing just didn't see Asgard at all. So, yeah, mixed. I think you've got to behave if you're in front of it. If you start doing anything unexpected, it just has fits.
But on the other hand, the dance game was picking up everyone who went in front of it.
Yeah, and some people were in quite flappy cardigans and jackets
and things. There was some quite flappy clothing around.
Some dresses with flounces on and all sorts. And it was still managing to pick up...
Was flounces a technical term?
I don't know. I'm not really a dressmaker. But it was definitely picking up with almost... I wonder, was it picking up or was it just guessing and erring on the side of caution?
I don't know.
The dance game? Was it cheating to make people feel good?
It might have been cheating slightly. Mm. But I wasn't seeing people get all frustrated at the dance game.
Mm. Yeah, we didn't see Kinectimals, which is a shame.
I wanted to see Kinectimals.
I wanted to stroke a tiger.
I wanted to be mauled.
Yeah. Which is the big selling point for me, to be honest, the ability to stroke a tiger in my
flat. I'm getting Kinectimals. I'm making you play.
I look forward to it.
On film.
I'll beat you. I'll beat you at Kinectimals. Hands down. Yeah. So, Kinect in general, then, what do we say? It seems not to be snake oil, at least. It does broadly what they say it does.
It's not perfect.
It's not perfect, no. No, it does have a little bit of teething troubles here and there, I think. But
and I'm not...
I think the launch title list has to really be expanded enormously.
They've got the dance game and they've got Sports Active. I reckon that's
those two.
Those two will sell. Those are the two best games you could do for
it. I can't see anyone buying Kinect purely on the strength of the car racing game or the paddling down a river thing. Presumably you get those free with
The paddling game comes for free. Yeah. I think Joyride is a Xbox Live game.
I think a promising start.
Yes.
We'll see what else can be done with it and what the general take-up's like when it finally goes on sale as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's weird, really. We both move and connect. There are some games which really work with it, and it's not the games that I think people would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of unexpected strengths with some of those rather than just the general purpose. It's going to be brilliant. You know, we're starting to actually see them for real. We're starting to see what they're good at and what they're not so good at, and I think that's brilliant. Yeah. Okay, do you want to talk about the indie games?
Let's talk about the indie games.
Yeah, that was there again. Again, a sort of tokenish presence, to be honest. There's about 10 games there listed.
Something like that, yeah.
I'd love to see much, much more of the place turned over to this stuff. Because to be too. Honest, I was getting, you know, we got to about 4 o'clock or so after we got back from the pub and then had another go around the place. And I just thought, I was starting
space
to look.
Marine, yeah, space Marine. Space Marine.
Grizzled Space Marine with a gun in a world of grey, you know, shooting monsters that are generally zombie-ish. And I thought, another one, another one, another one. But then I thought, well, no, the indie games, okay, that's where you see the stuff that's just out there. It's the new stuff, the quirky stuff. One man has a crazy idea, just decides to run with it, you know, and then ultimately ends up in this little section here. These were mostly PCs, were they?
They're all PCs,
they're all. Okay. Do we not see any Indie Games Arcade stuff coming from the Xbox developer stuff?
It's hard to tell because everyone was using Xbox controllers.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, using them on PCs to. Fair enough. Yeah, okay. They've got the list here. Now, to be honest, I got a little confused because I didn't really see many of the names. They're all tiny little displays.
Yeah, it was really quite hard does to not get involved set with out, and it's hard to make it clear what's what.
It's sort of a curiosity sideshow, yeah. I suppose.
But it always feels like it's never quite had enough effort put into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Gemini Rue.
Which one was that?
I don't know. Fractal. No. Obaku. Okabu. No. Frozen Synapse, I saw. That was the one with the it looked like. It was like laser tag sort of.
Yes,
that reflector-y thing. That's the puzzle game.
Yes, it looked really quite good actually.
That sort of blue lit square play field.
It's one of the ones which I was aware of before, and I was quite excited to see it. It looked quite good.
Yep. Okay, what else we got? Revenge of the Titans. Oh, I saw this. Yeah, that filled me with so much promise. That was your 8-bit stylized arcadey thing where you're controlling a general giving you advice and stuff. And I had a quick go, and it immediately became apparent that it's just another tower defense game.
Yeah.
And that was really disappointing because I hate tower defense games. I really do. I don't like them. I don't know why. It's just right, I'll set up all my guns, set up all my money things, and then just sit there and watch the gameplay itself. You know, it's a lack of hands-on involvement. I don't
believe
like
you are meant to, in some places, rearrange things.
But also, I got it completely wrong and put a million factories down and no guns because I didn't even know there was an incoming wave. So I thought it was an RTS. I thought, all right, let's get on and develop myself a big economy then. Oh, hell, zombies have just destroyed my base.
Nothing I saw about that game screamed innovation.
Well, no, and you expect a little bit more from the indie games, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Is it wrong to expect that an indie game should be something massively avant-garde and entirely revolutionary? Or is this more a case of indie game is, we're just going to take a basic and well-established game format, but do it much cheaper and in a quirky, stylized manner?
Good question.
What you expect to see out of an indie game? Nidhogg. No?
Can't remember.
Skulls of the Shogun. I saw that. It was quite a cartoony sort of ninja thing with samurais. I couldn't really see what was going on with it, to be honest. Again, too many people clustered around one screen each game. Button, I remember. That was very
Button's
good.
Brilliant.
That was very clever indeed. A number of Xbox controllers just on the top in front of it. And basically, you have to press the button to win.
Yeah, five times.
Well, no, it defends it. I think what it does, it mixes it up each round. There were a couple playing it, and I was watching and giggling. And basically, to win, you have to press the A button. First, though, you have to, I think, you have to take 5 steps back.
No, it's different each time you do it. Yeah, and this time it was take 5 steps back, spin around 7 times, then push the button.
Yeah, and basically, I think it just makes you do all sorts of crazy stuff and then race to press the button.
And I'm not entirely sure if everyone was aware that it had no idea if you were doing them.
Well, that's the big thing. It's got no idea if you're cheating or not, and it's a party game, very much.
One
so.
Of them is get as far away from the controller as you can in the time.
Yeah, it might be a problem in smaller flats, I suppose, but that was quite good. Swimming Under Clouds, we saw that, didn't we? You even got a little badge.
I like that. That was cute and nice and different and fun.
It looked like a sideways platformer. You were a fish who was somehow managing to telekinetically control a globe of water around yourself.
Concentrating very hard.
Which was interesting because that bubble of water was your life counter, I suppose.
So it seemed, yes.
Yeah, if the water all evaporates, you end up dying because you're a goldfish and you shouldn't be out of water.
Very
fluffy, pink, quite stylized.
It's a gimmick platform game, but there's nothing wrong with that.
No. And Hohokam.
Hohokam.
Which is one I had a good yes. go at, yeah.
You were chatting to the nice young lady on
well,
that.
Well,
you went into interviewer voice.
She couldn't get anyone else to have a go at it. Everyone's going, I don't want to go at that.
It looked brilliant. It looks like Locoroco.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to say that there and then.
No, I didn't want to say that in front of her either. I think she was the artist. You are this large sperm thing. Sorry, snake thing.
I don't think
thing.
It was a sperm. It's like an eye or a tadpole. All right, it's a sperm, yes.
You're in a snake thing flying through the air, and you have to pick up women and drop them at men. That's what was going on, wasn't it?
There was a lot of subtext there that I only realised when I thought about it later, yes. But very brightly coloured sort of, I don't know, sort of 50s, 60s style.
60s cartoony type, yeah. It's definitely the Locoroco style.
Very similar to Locoroco, yeah.
It looks gorgeous. Mm. I'm not entirely sure how the game's going to be worth playing with what we saw.
I know, the gameplay made me wonder a bit. I mean, I figured out pretty early on you had to pick people up on your tail and then take them to a place to drop them off. And
you there was can't die, being, but the people can.
The things shooting spiked balls all over the place, and if the people got hit, they fell off and you had to go and find another one. So I don't know what there was in scoring or progression or anything like that. I think they did say it was in alpha.
Yeah, it's in very early alpha.
So what I saw there was very promising.
I'm going to be keeping a close eye on this game.
Yeah, keep a lookout for that, yeah. Okay, as the indie arcade. There's something else I saw in the corner, though, that I want to talk about as well, which I was very impressed with. This was the special effect stand. It was basically, I don't know, four or five game consoles set up there. And
PCs people... and one Xbox.
Yeah, and basically what it is gaming disability. People with various sorts of physical handicaps who couldn't normally work with a controller.
You could control a game with your eyes.
That was fantastic. Well,
this is the future.
Are you sure it was eyes? I thought it was tilting of the head.
No, it's eyes.
It was actually eyes.
Yeah.
It was remarkable. They had a number of different, very specialised peripherals that I believe they either invent or put together or make available or whatever. There was one there, a racing game, which was controlled by two enormous great buttons.
That wasn't a racing game, that was Forza 3.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Well, that was an off-the-shelf racing game.
Well, that was the thing I was wondering about, actually, I should have asked, is how can these peripherals be used on off-the-shelf games, as you say, or do they are they going to be stuck basically with a bunch of poorly written games?
Some of those games did look like they were specially written.
Perhaps, or adapted, possibly. But there was one controller there with two enormous buttons. I thought, well, that's quite large for a D-pad, but that turned out to be pedals. Left and right pedals to control the car. So basically you can control the entire game. I don't know if there's combinations of both buttons to do stuff as well. I'm not sure. There was what looked to be quite almost a 1980s arcade cabinet console set up with the very large click buttons and the stick. That's basically designed to replicate a controller, because obviously... If you've got,
that was an off-the-shelf fight controller, actually.
Yeah, if you got arthritis or just mobility problems in general, twiddling your thumbs on a normal controller is going to be very difficult. The playing with your head one was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a racing game where you were controlling by looking. Brilliant.
I mean, was it tilting of the head or looking?
It was looking. Just it was the eyes.
I mean, it just really, I don't know, you sort of wander around there and you see all these games and you think, yeah. And then you get to see this sort of thing and you think, oh, that makes all the rest of the show look pretty fatuous, to be honest.
Yeah, it was lucky it was right at the back.
Yeah,
because
it wasn't them preaching or anything.
No, it was just the whole, thing, but... Actually, that's really cool. They're really nice. It's a nice charity that goes around letting kids who couldn't otherwise play games.
Extremely worthwhile, yeah.
They also do therapy stuff as well,
They take all this stuff out on the road. They go to hospitals and visits and that sort of thing.
It's basically what they do, and they're great, and we like them.
Yeah, we'll put a link on the show notes as well. But the website there is www.specialeffect.org.uk. Have a look at that and see.
Also, there's Special Effect on Twitter.
Yeah, very impressive.
They've been having people donating money based on how many subscribers they had this weekend.
That's very good.
Yes, very good.
Mm. So, anything else you saw that you want to talk about?
I haven't had my rant yet.
Go on, are you going to have a rant? Oh, yes. Now, let me just... a number of these
There was three technologies coming up soon, and we have slated so far Move and Kinect.
Yeah. A number of these games had a number of complimentary sunglasses that you had to wear while you were playing them in case the game was too bright. Although they seemed to be playing... I mean, there was an awful lot of monitors that were on the blink, I thought.
They'd
just lost the sideways
game. Yeah, just loads of out-of-focus monitors there.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, you think of a big professional show like this, they'd do a better job of providing adequate hardware. No, this is 3D, of course.
Now, it should be clear that up until this point, I have not liked the idea of 3D, but I haven't actually played an awful lot of 3D games.
Okay.
And so now I've played.
So what was previously a knee-jerk reaction?
Yeah. My knee-jerk reaction is now an informed opinion.
Excellent.
Which feels quite good, you know.
An informed opinion backed up by a number of other people who also had a go as well.
Now, it turns out that 3D works and is the future.
Does it?
No, it does not at all. At all, no. 3D is a train wreck of a technology designed to make you waste $2,000 on a new TV.
Well, I mean, there was nothing about prices there. We just had a little go. I mean, a lot of the... There was quite a few... I think Nvidia had a big old wall of games.
We'll talk about Nvidia afterwards.
Okay, but...
Because that...
There were various games, not only the new games here, there were existing games that we already seen and played lots of already. And
but that was 3D. On the PC side, which we'll ignore for now, because that's slightly different. Yeah. For the... There was stuff like Killzone was in 3D, Motorstorm was in 3D, Gran Turismo was in 3D, all Sony games, you'll note.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these running. Not many people queuing to play these ones, and definitely not a lot of people looking over their shoulder, because you can't do that.
No, well, that was the immediate problem that we seemed to... I mean, I didn't actually get to sit on a seat with the 3D glasses and play one of these games. Perhaps I might have a different opinion if I had, but we were putting a spare pair of glasses on and sort of kneeling next to... random
now,
stranger trying to play
the thing is, you have to be in such a specific position to see the 3D.
Mm.
It's completely, utterly, utterly useless.
You've got about a 5-degree horizontal arc.
Yeah.
In which the 3D will work.
Effectively, if you don't rearrange your sitting room, so you're in a 2-centimeter by 2-centimeter square, straight in front, directly in front of your TV... You are not going to see 3D. Yeah. You are going to see a blurred picture.
You've got to be exactly the right angle and also exactly the right distance away.
Yeah, the further away you're going to go, the 3D is just going
to
disappear.
I'm guessing there'll be some sort of adjustment you can do to change the distance away.
I assume so.
There probably isn't an adjustment you can do to change the angle at all.
Yeah. No.
But yeah, this basically means that your mate sat on the sofa next to you is not going to really see. Yeah, you can see what's going on, but it's going to be blurry and give you a headache.
Even when I was dead on straight with Gran Turismo, it was still blurred in the distance. It just did not look right.
Well, even when you're the right distance away and
everything.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I was a meter away from the screen.
Yeah, we jumped in front of someone who wanted to have a go and play on it just to have a look at the 3D, and then we immediately walked away.
Yeah.
Didn't actually want to play it at all. No.
Now, Gran Turismo is a good example. The way it's been bodged in is your steering wheel is one plane, your dashboard is another plane, and then you've actually got the sort of does work 3D in the background.
Mm.
So when you're playing, it looks awful. the colours are all muted. The 2D game does look an awful lot better than the 3D game.
Even with the glasses notwithstanding. Yeah, we went around the other side of the wall and they did the same game in 2D and it's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And quite bright as well, noticeably
very,
so.
Very bright.
Yeah.
Nice rich colours, I thought.
Yes, that too. I mean, I noticed that all the glasses were tied to the booths with security.
Which is a shame, because
well.
I would like to have got back further to see how well... It worked.
Well, it's to stop people walking off with them, which suggests the glasses themselves are going to be an expensive
$100.
Yeah.
None of the games there in 3D looked any good.
No. And it's a bit worrying that they're putting so much time and effort and resources into forcing it into mainstream this time round. You know, I mean, it comes and goes. Who remembers Magic Carpet?
Yeah, 3D.
Magic Carpet was a very early Bullfrog game from about 1995 or something, and they had a stereoscopic 3D mode. Did it come with the red... and green glasses? I think
no.
It did. Red, blue glasses.
I think you had to buy them separately.
We'll find them
elsewhere, or it had a magic eye mode.
The stereogram mode. That was crazy. Yeah. But, and it's sort of, you know, it's an interesting little side technology. But, I mean, it really does seem like they're going full bore to try and force it into people's living rooms.
It's
this
because
time
it's people like Sony who are behind the big push on the PlayStation. They want to sell you a new TV. It's blatant. Buy a new TV. We didn't sell enough HD TVs last time. We want you to buy a new one. We have a reason for you to buy a new TV.
Sorry,
buy
I've,
one.
I've set him off now.
It's insulting.
Was it all the PS3 games?
Yeah.
Was there any Xbox 360s doing 3D?
No.
Oh. Well,
it was all PS3 games and all heavily controlled by Sony PS3 games.
Ah, right. There we go. Well, that explains an awful lot then. So you wanted to talk about Nvidia?
Yes, Nvidia had 3D. And... Mm.
This is PCs, of
now,
course.
Now, what I want to say here is I'm not against 3D. The 3DS, brilliant idea.
After that just blistering rant.
I'm against the goggles on a TV. Mm. I think on the PC it works.
A PC
because you are sitting in front of your screen in the right position.
That was what struck me. Yeah, I mean a lot of the way they'd set all those PS3s up with the 3D glasses and your little stool and your controller, it was an optimum position that you'd more more likely find at a PC desk or whatever.
Yeah. And so on the PC, it works.
Does a PC generally have the existing technology to do it straight away?
NVIDIA cards can do it, I think, automatically. You just have to buy the...
you just need a monitor goggles. That's capable of 120 DPI, yeah. I suppose. Yeah.
You need a special monitor and you need the goggles, of course.
Mm. So perhaps not NVIDIA such a crippling expenditure.
No, you can be up and running with 3D on a PC for about 500 quid, I think.
Mm, fair enough. It still doesn't bring an awful lot to the experience.
They had StarCraft in 3D.
They had StarCraft in 3D. I think that was they had Civ 5 in 3D as well. Yeah. Why?
Not bring anything.
Yeah, Civ 5, not exactly a blistering 3D experience.
What I came away from the NVIDIA stuff was 3D is a PC technology.
Being shoehorned in ill-advisedly into PS3.
Into consoles. And if 3D is successful, it is because it is wanted.
Well, it won't be successful if it isn't wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
Ultimately.
So it's not going to be successful because Sony do an awful lot of adverts for it. It's going to be successful because people want to buy it for PC games.
Ultimately, though, it all comes down to that £2,000 television, doesn't it?
It will come down. Eventually, 3D TVs will be the same price as all the other ones.
Can the 3D movement wait that long, though?
I don't know.
Mm. Or will people just go off the boil altogether?
From what I've seen, anyone who's saying, yes, 3D is the future...
Probably is, but not this time, and probably not for the next 5 or 6
really
attempts.
Really has not
either.
Considered what it's going to be like in the living room. I can't see how you can, because you just have to be sitting in the wrong position for it to look awful. And especially with 3D films, when you've got, four people in an average family, 4.2, whatever it is now, looking at a screen.
Sat on a number of sofas, all at the wrong place.
So Dad gets a good picture, because, you know, he set it
people
up.
People fighting to sit in the middle, yeah.
Yeah.
Deary me.
Yeah, terrible. Mm. No. 3D, complete waste of time, and they're just out to rip us off.
Right. Excellent. So, anything else? There was developer sessions?
Yeah.
We didn't go for any of those.
No.
Huge queue for Rage.
2.5 hours for the queue for Rage today, apparently.
Oh, blimey. That's the new ID game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Id. Id. Sorry. So we don't really have anything to say about that, but it seemed very popular.
What I have to say about that is the room wasn't very big, and it was really hard for anyone to see it, so I think that...
Wait for demos or whatever.
Well, they pick them out on the web anyway. Yeah. So yeah, we didn't bother fighting to get in because it would have taken up an hour or so waiting for anything.
So
and
what?
Just watch
these,
it on the web.
Those were loads of people all fighting to get into a developer seminar where they'd be talked at for an hour before they get to see a glimpse of a demo that they was what they really wanted to go and see. Oh, yeah. I suppose some people had genuinely been in there to learn a bit about how.
And
well,
some
things.
People ask questions, yeah, but they're going up on the web anyway. So yeah.
Fair enough.
I just didn't see any
time. Yeah.
Would have been nice if they had bigger halls to do it, but they only had one of these going on at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like
the
inverse Comic-Con, where Comic-Con you got a bazillion sessions going on at once.
Yeah,
but in this it's just
it was
one
mostly
of them,
just a big main floor preview arcade.
It only sat 500 people or so. So yeah.
Yeah. There was other sessions throughout the three days there.
There's a Molyneux one. I can't wait to see.
Molyneux was there on Friday. Hopefully that'll be available.
Yes, they said that's
web
going up
thing
on the web,
or whatever.
Yeah,
okay. And that's about it, really. They had a little HMV shop there. I don't know who... No, I didn't see many people buying games there and then. I don't think there was any of the games that were actually on display, so I'm not quite sure what that was about.
Oh, a couple were. There was, you know, Formula One was there.
No, the stuff that was out
anyway.
I'm pretty
sure Mafia 2 was there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good day out. And then we went to the pub and drank lots and talked mostly about Minecraft for about 4 hours.
Ate some okay burgers. There was an awful lot of talk about Minecraft.
Mm.
And some...
Minecraft, which wasn't being shown.
No Minecraft there. Some quite nice restraint I saw from somebody who apparently had a laptop.
A laptop?
Didn't John have a laptop?
Oh, yeah. Could have been playing it there, but he wasn't. So yeah. that's self-control.
Yeah, the game we talked about most during the day was...
It was a game that wasn't even on display, yeah. We were talking about Minecraft for much of the day.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So good day out. Good to meet everyone as well. A big shout out to Asgar, Torag, Ed, Richie and Chris.
Dot Chaos.
And Copperbird and Arbitrary Genius we saw briefly.
Yep.
And anyone else as well who we may have bumped into but didn't recognise us or ask them or anything. And Dathmar, of course.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah,
there we go. Did you see my excellent filling?
I did, I saw, yes.
Yeah. Come on, memory, give me the name. Yeah, so looking forward to next year then, I suppose.
I have to say I'm really impressed by the organisers at Earth Court for getting the queue through as fast as they did.
Oh, that was brilliant. We turned up at the busiest sort of time to get in, and we just, the queue was moving, and it took us about 5 minutes from starting the queue to get in.
We turned up, about a half hour after it had opened?
Very well organised thing. I think we were very successful in not accidentally going to the wedding festival.
There was people shouting out front of the wedding festivals.
Computer games left, weddings right. Do not get the wrong queue.
You will be disappointed.
And most of the women were in the other queue. Most of the men were in the other. But there was a good showing of couples in both queues, which was good. So, yeah. I liked it. What was the best thing you saw? Best thing, the thing you liked the most?
Press B to explode,
tickers in Gears of War 3. My best thing is a toss-up between Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, which I think is going to be awesome, and also the special effect disability gaming thing.
Oh, yes, yeah. Good.
Right, no Twitter question this week?
I told people to ask us stuff in question, but no one did.
Fair enough. Oh, with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.